Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, October the 7th, 1984. God bless as we worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ together on this beautiful Lord's Day. At this time, our choir is going to sing a number that mentions prayer, sweet air of prayer, that calls me from a world of care. Brother Tom comes to lead the choir in this song.
Such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
From the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Jesus spoke a lot about prayer. Thank the Lord for these verses. Brother Earl's going to read for us, and then he'll lead us in prayer.
Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore likened unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee today that we can come to thee and lay every care that we have upon your shoulders and No, Lord, when we can't carry our load, that you can carry it for us. And Father, we thank you tonight that today that, Lord, you just know that every problem we have and every need that comes our way, you're aware of it. And Lord, we know that you care for us more than we care for ourselves. And we just thank you, Father, that you know what prayers we should be praying. And you know what needs we have, Lord. And if we forget to lift one another up, we just pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us and help us to look to thee, Lord, and to do the things you've taught us. We know, Lord, that you are aware of all of our problems. And Father, we just place these problems on your shoulders today and just help us, Lord, to strengthen one another and lift each other up. And fail not, Lord, to remember the problems of our brothers and sisters around us and to come to you with them. Lord, we just pray today that if there's anyone in our services or listening by way of the tape ministry that does not yet know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that before it's too late, Lord, they would just turn their lives over to thee. Be with us in all things, Lord, that we say and do in this serving, Lord, that it would be pleasing to thee. We pray, Lord, that it would touch our hearts and cause your children to walk closer with you. And, Lord, that if there's someone lost listening today, that they would make things right with you before it's too late. Lord, we know, Lord, that you just may come any minute to take us home, and we pray, Lord, that all listening would be ready. Be with us, Lord, in all that we say and do that would be pleasing to thee. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, let's get us a hymn book, and for our last hymnal, let's turn to page 349 and stand and sing the first and last verses of I Surrender All, 349.
We have a better place to live. Father, preach on one hill in this Lord's house today, that you shall go about the Lord and pray for the heart to be touched and the tongue accepted, for the theme has already been paid in the tongue of the Lord. So we take up this home for the youth, the furlough, God's word, the witness, the will of faith, back and forth.
Dedicate that song there to Mrs. P.H. Combs. That was her favorite song. Tom, you and Fred, and I don't know how many it's going to be up here. I even about to ask Darlene to come up and help them sing. She doesn't come this way very often. They're going to sing Hallelujah Square. You know that one. Debbie? We'll have five up here. Thank God for all five of you all. God bless you.
She said she didn't know that when she was on
the... I didn't either. I mean, I still don't.
I'll give up on that.
Tis a blessed hour of prayer when our hearts wholly bend, and we gather to Jesus, our Savior and friend. If we come to Him in faith, His protection to share, what a balm for the weary, oh how sweet to be there. Blessed hour of prayer, blessed hour of prayer, what a balm for the weary, oh how sweet to be there. It's a blessed hour of prayer when the Savior draws near with a tender compassion. Blessed hour of prayer, what a bomb for soul a blind man to have been alone, losing his way as he passed through the throng. Here still my eyes, I said, friend, you can't see, but with a smile on his face, he replied to me.
Say, I appreciate this thing right here. I think Kathleen's class fixed these this morning. Michael Isaac gave me this one. Some of the others have some to give me. It says, "Dear Pastor Hamlin, I'm glad that God asked you to be a leader in our church. I will pray for you as you teach us more about God." Appreciate that. Thank the Lord for being able to pray. Today we're going to be speaking on prayer and revival in the church. I asked Brother Combs last Sunday to write a poem about prayer. And right here it is. I'm going to read it during the message this morning sometime. The Power of Prayer. Today we're going to look in the Bible, especially in 2 Chronicles 7:14, as we look at prayer and revival in the church. We want to be much in prayer for lost people, as well as for each one of us as God's people who are saved already. On this Sunday, before Brother Rosenbaum comes to preach for us, again next Sunday and through the following Sunday, the prayer of my heart is that all of us will begin to get serious about our Christian life. God wants us to have burdened hearts for the lost and burning hearts for Him, as well as broken hearts, as we look forward to what God is going to do among us the week of October 14th through the 21st, Sunday morning through Sunday night. I know Brother Rosenbaum is looking forward to being with us. He's the one who gave me this pink sheet that's in the bulletin today. And I trust we'll be thinking about people that we're concerned about, and we'll wrap those five names down and turn them in sometime today, either this morning or during the evening service. I trust you'll sign up for a half an hour of time to pray, begin tomorrow morning through October the 21st. Prayer changes people. You've seen signs of prayer changes things. I'm here to tell you, friends, that prayer will change you and me. Time spent with God is time saved. It's time saved instead of time lost. A lady went to her doctor one day, and after examining her, he said to her before she left, "I want you to go home and spend a half an hour in prayer and Bible reading, and then come back and see me in a few weeks." And she was upset at what a prescription to give to a patient. It was free, just cost her a half an hour a day. But you know what? She decided to do this. And she came back to see her doctor in a few weeks. And as she walked into the doctor's office, he said to her, "I see that you have taken my advice. I see you've taken my advice." You know what the Bible says in Acts 4:13? It says they took knowledge of them, the disciples, that they had been with Jesus. Time with the Lord is going to show in our daily walk, in our daily talk. It's going to show. Coming to Him in prayer. Spending time with God. Our key verse today is going to be found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." That is just as true as the day that it was written. This verse is in two parts, and that's going to be our message today. If we'll do some things, then God will do some things. And if we don't do some things, God is not obligated to do some things. If and then. First of all, this verse tells us what we Christians must do. The Lord says this. Because in verse 11 of 2 Chronicles 7 it says, "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house he prospered effectively. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night." The Lord is saying this verse. And the very first part of this verse says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves." They'll humble themselves. As I've said here many times, we can get too big for God to use, but we can never get too little. James 4:10 says it like this, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Be clothed with humility, because God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble." You know, Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus in the tree outside of Jericho, and he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." The Lord says here, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Shall humble themselves. Come down in humility. It is coming down in humility that we can go up to heaven someday. That we can go up in our Christian life. There were two missionaries, two of Jesus' disciples. In the book of Acts it says they went up to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer. We need to be clothed, come down in humility, because God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Jesus said, he that exalteth himself shall be abased or brought down, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. It's in coming down that we can go up. Psalm 51:17, David said as he wrote from the depths of his soul, he said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. David was willing to come down in humility. In order for his sin to be forgiven and cast away. I wonder if we on this Sunday before our special services with Brother Rosenbaum, I wonder if we're willing to come down in humility and realize that we're in need of God in each one of our lives. We need God. We certainly need God. And then notice it says, not only if they will humble themselves, that's the first point, and pray and seek my face. Do you know what? As long as we think we don't need God, we're not going to feel any need to pray. I'm here to tell you, friends, that every one of us here in this room this morning needs God. We need God in our lives. The God of heaven, not the God of materialism and everything else. We need God. Capital G-O-D. We need Him. If we'll pray and seek His face. I trust today that all of us gathered here feel the need of divine help from God. Daniel, as you know, had a problem. For 30 long days, he was not to pray to anyone except the king. He was not to ask any request from anyone except the king. But you know what the Bible tells us? Daniel 6:10 tells us these words. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being barred up so no one could look in? No. It says, and his windows being open in his house, in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He was in captivity. He was in exile. And he was homesick for his homeland, Jerusalem. And so his windows were open toward Jerusalem. Daniel kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He wasn't going to let any decree keep him from praying. You know what the disciples said in the book of Acts? They said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so Daniel, way back there in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, he believed God. He said, I'm going to obey God rather than men. In the book of Psalm, chapter 27, it tells us this. Psalm 27 and verse 8. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. As I may have said last Sunday, every time that we have a problem, a difficulty, if we're not very careful, it can be traced right back to not spending enough time with God and getting strength, physical strength, as well as spiritual strength. Acts 12:5 says, Peter therefore was kept in prison. He was going to be brought out the next morning probably and killed. One of Jesus' disciples had already been killed, but a prayer meeting was in progress. It says that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I believe this, when God's people get in earnest about prayer, God is going to be listening. I know that. Not only should we come down in humility, not only should we pray and seek God's face, but there is another point. And turn from their wicked ways. I believe, friends, we need a revival of clean living. I chauffeured Tim and Kim down to the ball game last night. And sometimes I wish I had cotton to put in my ears. We need today a revival of clean living. Clean living. And turn from their wicked ways. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. What David did in Psalm 51. He said, I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. We need to get all of our sins under the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need a revival of holy living, clean living. And God's able to help us to live on a higher plane. As Linda played that song a while ago, I'm pressing on the upward way. We need to get on higher ground. We need to be willing to come clean with God and get cleansed afresh and anew. Life is too short to go through it with sins unconfessed and weighting us down. As I said, Brother Combs wrote a poem that goes like this. As we lay in sleep and slumber at the break of day, the Spirit voice from heaven says, don't forget to pray. As we pray there in silence, we can hear him say, your prayer has been answered and is now on its way. The Bible tells us if we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit will lead us and tell us what to say. There is nothing more powerful while on the earth we trod than a faithful prayer through Jesus to our Lord and our God. While we're here on the earth, we're not here to stay. Just turn our eyes to Jesus and not forget to pray. Our prayers are answered from our God above. They take a flight from heaven on the wings of a dove. This last verse, Brother Combs woke up while his daughter was getting breakfast. He had written these other six verses the day before. And the Holy Spirit seemed to say to him, you didn't get that poem finished. And so he wrote the seventh verse that says this, let us steal away in silence in a solitary place each day and turn our minds to Jesus and not forget to pray. If you and I today will do what the first part of this verse said, the Bible tells us, then will I hear from heaven. The Bible tells us that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. It says, then will I hear from heaven. I'll hear from heaven. There was a man who had died. He was being criticized up one side and down the other by different people. And he went there to defend himself. He'd already gone and be with his Lord. And the funeral director could stand it no longer, all this criticism. And he said, you may criticize this man all you want to, but I want you to know this. This is the first man I've ever prepared for burial who had calluses on his knees. I wonder how many calluses you and I have on our knees from bending our knee in prayer to God. Two pastors' wives were mending their husband's pants. The one said to the other, nothing seems to be happening in our church. Hardly anyone coming and no outward decisions being made. And the other one said, it's not that way in our church. We're rejoicing in the Lord, and people are getting saved, and Christians' lives are being strengthened. The first lady was mending her husband's pants in the seat, while the other was mending her husband's pants in the knees. We need to pray as never before, when it's hardest to pray. Pray hardest. This verse is conditional. If we'll do some things, then God's going to do some things. God's going to do some things. As I sat in that crowd of 59,000 last night, I thought, man, I'd like to have this enthusiasm in our church here at Airport Gardens. When Kentucky get a touchdown, there's a man sitting in front of us who'd get up and he'd do that with I don't know how many people. Tim even got a few hard licks on the hand like that. We need to get enthusiastic about God's work. And when people do some things that are wonderful, we need to praise them for it and appreciate each other. That's why I like this letter here from Mac and these others in Kathleen's class. That does something for me. I will pray for you as you teach us about God. That's my prayer, that I'll teach you about God. That you'll listen with both ears. Are we as a church willing to pay the price for revival? Or do we just want 10 services, come and sit down and see nothing happen? Are we going to come through that door and expect God to do something that night or that day? Brother Rosamond will be with us two Sunday mornings. And two Sunday nights, and Monday through Saturday. Are we willing to pay the price for revival? I believe if we are, God's going to do some things. I would say today with the psalmist, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? J. Edgar Hoover, former director of FBI, said, the spectacle of a nation praying is more awe-inspiring than the explosion of an atomic bomb. Prayer is man's greatest means of tapping the infinite resources of God. We need to pray. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Their land needs healing. You know that, and I know that. Our land needs healed. I want to ask you today, if you want to come and sign up for this half an hour of prayer, I want to ask you to do it. As Linda comes to the piano, Brother Tom gets her invitation ready for today. Page 342, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. I've already signed my name on this sheet. 6 to 6:30, but if you want to pray from 6 to 6:30 in the morning, you sign right out front my name if you want to. We need to get in earnest with God. If you're here as a lost person, you need the Lord right now. Don't put Him off. Time's too short. One of Brother Ms. White's son-in-law's brother died. Heart attack just like that. You don't need to put God off. Look up and come to the Lord this morning as we stand to sing. 342. For Linda to keep on playing this hymn. Young people, we need you too. If you know the Lord today, you can get a hold of God. If you're saved, you can pray.